If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we answered live callers' questions. So people called in. We got to help them out on air. By the way, if you want to be on an episode like this one, email us at live@mindpumpmedia.com. Also, if you want to skip around your favorite parts, you could check the show notes. There's timestamps there. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is 8 Sleep. This is a device that goes over your bed, and it warms or cools your bed, and it manages the temperature based on your sleep. It uses AI technology to alter the temperature on the fly throughout the night to maximize sleep quality. There's nothing like this on the market. Go check them out. Get yourself a discount through our link. Go to 8sleep.com/mindpump. By the way, that'll get you $200 off plus free shipping on the pod cover. They ship in the US, Canada, the UK, some countries in Europe and Australia. This episode's also brought to you by Ned. They make hemp oil extract for performance enhancement, for feelings of euphoria, pain relief. My favorite product is their brain blend. I use this before podcasting often, and it makes me feel real sharp and creative. Anyway, they have a lot of stuff. Check them out. These are CBD products you actually feel. Go to helloned.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump, get 15% off. This month's program sale, by the way, is Maps Anywhere and Maps Hit, both 50% off. You can find them both if you go to mapsfitnessproducts.com, but you have to use the code April50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show.
T-shirt time! And it's T-shirt time.
Ah, shit, Doug. You know it's my favorite time of the week.
We have four winners this week, 3 for Apple Podcasts, 1 for Facebook. The Apple Podcast winners are Lord Donut, Scott J22, Mrs. MCD05, and for Facebook, we have Dustin Stone. All four of you are winners. Send a name I just read to iTunes at mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size and your shipping address, and we'll get that shirt right out to you.
When it comes to fitness, exercise, diet, and sleep are the three most important factors. But did you know if you improve one of them, it'll also simultaneously improve the others? Sleep. Studies have shown that if you get better sleep, you tend to eat better and you tend to move more. That's not necessarily true of the other two. So if you need to work on one of them, work on sleep. It tends to make everything better.
You know, you don't think that they're all inversely related like that?
They all impact each other.
Yeah.
But if you have sleep that's not ideal, yeah, it's crazy when you look at the data on how it affects. For example, there's that one study, I brought this before. This was a controlled study. That's why I like this about the study, it was controlled. People were in a sleep lab and they put these groups of people in the deficit, same deficit. Everything was the same, same yeah, calories, everything. They both lost the same amount of weight. But the group that had poor sleep lost 50% more muscle. Just the sleep alone caused that to happen.
And, I mean, obviously you would attribute that to how important deep and REM sleep is to the recovery process and how important the recovery process is into building muscle or maintaining muscle.
That's part of it, but it's probably very complex, but it's probably along the lines of a poor sleep, chronic poor sleep. Of course, there's degrees. Poor sleep on a chronic basis, like, you know, you're getting 6 hours, also 5 hours, 7 hours broken hormones up. Not just your hormones. It tells your body, we need to conserve energy.
Yeah.
And what it does is it pares down expensive tissue, which is muscle, and it promotes fat storage. So it ramps up cravings, reduces activity, changes hormones to get rid of muscle, store body fat. So because it's literally in for most of human history, if you got bad sleep all the time, it probably meant you were lacking resources and you weren't safe.
Yeah.
And so your body is putting you in a position to survive those circumstances, which is more body fat, less muscle, conserve energy, you know, type of
thing. Oh, yeah. Your performance gets dramatically affected. And then that one study you brought up where it's like about injury.
Oh, yeah.
You're so much more susceptible to injuries. Like that's, I mean, it makes perfect sense, but I didn't even think to trace it back to sleep. It's just like, oh, maybe there was like, you know, this is a mechanical issue or this is like some kind of tissue issue.
It was the greatest predictor of injury. More than not warming up, priming, exercise technique, all that stuff. It was like if you had poor sleep, your odds of hurting yourself like skyrocket. Even with good form, good technique or warm up, it was the greatest indicator.
It's so hard to wrap your brain around too how if that is out of whack, right, that you even going to the gym and lifting weights could potentially be counterproductive to your goals.
Totally.
I mean, we just recently had a caller that we talked to, and you know, she complained about Maps starter being too much volume, which is considered probably one of our lowest volume.
It's a good postpartum or beginner, beginner program.
Right. And, you know, before answering her, like right away, I was like, okay, what's work? What do you do? Like, no.
Yeah, something's going on.
Yeah, for that to be overstressing. But then imagine you're telling someone like that, they need to lose weight, they want to get in better shape, their sleep's all out of whack, they're doing these workouts, and thinking that the advice is, hey, you know what, don't work out that many days or reduce the amount of volume. You may think that doing that is helping you, but instead it's actually slowing down the process of you getting
just
working
out.
By working out.
Yeah.
Which so different than I think how, at least I know I approached training as a kid. Like when I first started, it was like sleep was such an afterthought.
Poor sleep is very strongly related to depression, anxiety, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and of course obesity, muscle loss, injury. It's so essential that I believe it's illegal through the Geneva Convention to torture prisoners of war through preventing them from sleep. There's an old Soviet study. I don't know if you
know what you're talking.
and
they intentionally deprived
it's so
them.
Bad. Yeah,
they wanted to see how long people could go without sleep. Now, on the internet, they'll say
to the point of psychosis.
Yeah, they'll say, "Oh, this didn't happen." Other people are like, "No, this actually happened," but they want to see how long people go, and they turn psycho. Yeah. And I think there's data that shows something like I think it's 72 hours of no sleep. Your odds of mental psychosis are like the skyrocket. Like the average person will start to go crazy, literally. That's extreme cases. For the average person who's not experiencing that level of extreme sleep loss, the human body and brain is really good at compensating. So what happens is we have kind of poor sleep all the time, but we can still go to work. We can still kind of function. We drink coffee, you know, we do things to kind of keep ourselves awake, and we kind of make it. And so especially if you do that long enough, you start to feel like this is normal. It isn't until you really get good sleep that you go, oh my God, like how many people go on vacation? Yeah. And they're like, wow, this feels way different.
Well, don't we like, I mean, at that point, don't we kind of reserve back to like more of our lizard brain?
Yeah.
Like we're just fight flight. Like we're just like in that survival operation mode. And so everything we do is like less effective, but at the same time, we can just sort of make it through.
Yeah. So the issue with sleep isn't that sleep is a challenge for humans. It's that our bodies evolved to sleep under circumstances that we evolved under. So, you know, the sun goes down, so it slowly gets darker, temperature cools down, there's no more light except for maybe a fire, so it's low-level kind of red light that's in front of you, and then you would kind of turn that off because you want to attract predators maybe, and then you would go to sleep, and it would be cool, and then you'd wake up when the sun would come up. It would slowly come up and rise, the light would slowly come on, it would slowly warm up, and then you'd wake up and you go about your day. You're not doing anything at night.
Yeah.
Because we're blind in the evening. And so modern life keeps the sun up, you know, essentially with lights and electronics 24/7. We hit the pillow and expect to go to sleep. It would be like all of a sudden it's bright outside. I'm going to go to sleep for bed. Have you guys seen the studies on people that live in, what country is it where there's like a whole period of time where the sun never goes down?
Alaska or like, you know, like places like Alaska.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, they have to really structure it because insomnia and issues around sleep are really high there because of the sun being up.
If I were to go back and think just in the 10 years that we've been together, this like single best or the top three best investments I've ever made, like in health since then, just like in the last 10 years since we've been doing this. The two that come to mind right away are for sure 8 sleep and like having at home equipment as far as like the things that improve my health, like long term, like those two things. I look back and I go like all the different biohacking stuff and all the different shit that we've tried or done or that I've implemented into my routine. I think 8 sleep is arguably number one. If not, it's a very close number two, having, and only the gym equipment only because, I mean, because remember when we first started this, I was anti home gym guy. I needed to go to the gym. I needed to feel the energy, like, or otherwise I didn't get a good workout. But then I like the, you know, older version of me is like, oh, I've really appreciated this like ability to go, you know, in and out of the house and just do a few sets and come back to it. And I've really changed the way I lift. I'd say that is, you know, rivals the ability for 8 sleep to cool my body down. And then with the AI tech that it has in it to actually adapt to my
That's the crazy part.
Individual body and figure out, and then be tracking my REM and deep sleep, and then figure out what is the optimal temperature at what time of the night, at what.
You know why that's so crazy?
That's so sick.
That's so crazy because men are a little bit more stable, but women in particular, their body temperature fluctuations happen throughout the month. So they might find that they're more cold at certain times during menses or more warm or whatever. Men go through this too, depending on caloric intake. Your calories are so low now, you've been saying
yeah.
You're colder than you normally are or whatever. Activity, you know, all that stuff affects that. So what 8 Sleep does is it adjusts the temperature of your bed on the fly based off of how you're sleeping. Yeah. And it learns what works best for you. So literally throughout the night, it'll go up or down in temperature to ensure that you're sleeping best. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, stuff like that didn't exist before.
Well, that was one of the things too, and I'm not trying to throw shade on our original, you know, cooling system, but the knock that I do have in comparison now that I've had both is that the Uller I had to manually set at the temperature.
And it was just there.
And it was just there. But once I had set that with the 8 Sleep, it's like it did all the rest of the work, and it is adjusting based off the season and off of how my sleep is going. It's constantly.
I'm wondering, is it changing because
you know what I'll do?
Because your calories are so low right now.
So it's funny you said that because I actually just realized recently, like, ooh, the bed feels colder than it normally does. But that's me, right? Because yeah. So it's probably figuring that out based off of how my sleep is going.
I'd be interested to see what that does.
Yeah, I'll look back at the stats, right? I can look at all the AI stuff and see like if it's now adjusting because it does. It's like there was times in the year where, you know, at, you know, 1 a.m, it's dropping my bed temperature down to say 62, where now it's at 64.
Does it wake you up by slowly warming up in the morning?
I didn't program that in. It's not necessary for me.
I love that.
I know, like,
because you wake up and
you're an early riser. Yeah. So like I wake up without an alarm. So I get up so late.
What time do you wake up?
Yeah, 8 o'clock.
Oh, you're an 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm five.
Like, yeah, it's pretty easy for me to wake up.
Do you go to bed at like 11 then? Midnight?
I mean, Katrina and I try and get in bed by 10. Like that's it. Like that's my goal.
But you're not going to sleep then.
No. Cause we, you know, have the tendency to watch a show sometimes or we talk or last night I had horrible sleep. I had nothing to do with 8 Sleep or anything else other than like I was talking business, right? JT.
Terrible.
Oh,
that's the worst for you, bro. Why do you do that before?
It's unintentional, right? I'm having great dialogue with him, right? He's here. We're talking business stuff and you know, it just gets my, and I have yet to figure out, like, I mean, I have all these things, box breathing and tools that I've tried to implement, but
the business brain is
well, it's a blessing and a curse, yeah. Right? Because if you were to get into my,
I bet you at that time you have the best ideas.
Oh yeah. If you go back, I still have, since I've had an iPhone, all my notes for years of like,
it's always late at night.
Oh yeah, and you can
that's
just
mine are,
you right? Can just see like too. All this stuff because I have to get it out of my head or else it'll be even worse. Right?
Mine are either early in the morning or late at night. That's when I have my best.
Yeah,
idea.
Late at night.
I never have early morning.
Late at night.
Justin's what
did you say?
I never have early morning ideas. They're non-existent.
No, I agree too.
No, for me it's early morning, late at night, best ideas. But if I start talking about conspiracy theories before bed, no way.
That messes you?
No way.
Oh, that's funny. What does everybody stuff? I'm sure everybody has
world
so your
stress,
conspiracy theories before
and world shit.
Do you have something?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a mix of both, like the business or
business conspiracy.
Yeah.
How's this going to affect the business?
Was taking money from the business, right?
Adam's a lizard person. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
No, there's certain or arguments, right? Arguments in the middle of the night. I hate that, dude. You're like,
yeah, trying
right about to go to bed.
Hey, bro,
it's anything I'm trying to solve. Hey, you know,
Katrina could be pissed off, right? Like,
no,
that.
I know when it's going to happen. Because
are you sleeping?
No,
I was.
I'll make it worse, dude. I'll wake up to way worse if that happens. No, it's like because now I wear mouth tape when I go to bed.
Oh yeah.
So I'll put the mouth tape on and then you know start to go to bed and then
was that your wife's idea about it?
No.
Yeah, I think
so. No,
yeah.
So I'll put it on.
She's like, yeah, you sleep so much better.
Because it helps with the snoring, right? But I'll put it on. And
why is it duct tape?
I'll know there's going to be like a conversation because she'll be like, do you have the mouth tape on? I'm like, oh, fuck. Take it off. Here we go. Conversation.
I've told you guys before, right? By the way, I never asked you, the nasal strip, did you like that?
I did like it.
I told you, right?
I went and I bought some.
Oh,
yeah.
You see?
Yeah. Because
that's
like
a
this is a
life hack for me.
It doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, serious?
No.
It's your big beak. That's why they don't have
a beak. I've had my beak broken a few times, so I think that's
size. Wait, hold on. His nose is bigger than mine, bro.
Is Justin's
big? He said I have a big ass nose.
Sideways. Huh? Go sideways.
Yeah, bro, come on. Sideways. Zoom in. No way.
I mean, mine's broken, yeah, so Justin, you got that on me.
Justin's is beefier. Yours is beakier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's more muscular. I got more gains in my nose.
All right, bro. Yeah.
I can't believe that doesn't help you.
No.
Oh,
but
wow.
The mouth tape, and then I wear a mouth guard that pulls my lower jaw forward,
yeah,
to prevent me from snoring.
Yeah, I can't put mine on until Katrina is. I have to get up out of bed, otherwise, she gets all negged out. She's, I'm not getting any tonight.
So if what?
Yeah, if
so
I
have
put
to sneak it on.
Yeah, so if she sees me put it on,
did you tell her helps?
That's like my version of the.
I'm like, I'll have sex with this. Doesn't care. She's like, no, I know you. Once you do that, I know we're not having sex. I'm like. Why do you say that? It's all you kill it by saying that.
It's a performance improvement. Yeah. Tell her.
I can breathe better.
Yeah.
That's Courtney's jammies. You
is
know,
it?
Like,
yeah. I feel like every
jammies
spouse,
come on, I'm like, ah.
Isn't that a thing? Like almost every spouse has a...
Like, we're not having sex.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a sign, right? There's got to be a sign that Jessica does. You're like, shit.
No, we don't have anything like that. But I have a sign that we're going to have sex, which is like if she can take a shower before bed. Like, you want to put the baby down? I'm going to go take a shower. I'm like, okay.
That's coming that way.
Then I know we're about to. I got in trouble. I told you guys, I got in trouble once because she's like, I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to take a shower. And she goes, can I take a shower with you? What does that mean to you guys, by the way? You're going to take a shower. Wife says, I'll take a shower with you. Just tell me.
We're doing a lot less showering.
Okay.
For us, it's more like, I'm going to get clean. I'm like,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's rare.
Because, dude, shower sex is not that great.
Yeah, but it typically means,
it, let's be honest here.
It is overrated.
Well, typically for
it's
me,
like
it means
a last minute
we're
idea.
Naked, we're in the same room, lights are kind of on, like it's, we're going to do something. But anyway, one time I assumed and I was wrong. We had a big trouble. what makes you think we're going to have sex? I'm like, you came and take the shower with me.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, we're naked. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that though. I'm like, Justin, I think it's overrated. I'm like, and Katrina gets mad at me because I'll be like, I want to shower alone. Or she gets in and I get out.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I've realized I'm like an old guy now. I just like nighttime, like right before bed, then I have really good sleep. Can we ever like do something during the day?
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do.
I haven't done this in so long.
I don't have any daytime moves.
Somebody can see me right now. I don't know if this is okay.
Dude.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's weird. Oh. Yeah, like I'm not like that. Yeah, let's go to a closet or something.
No,
I'm not that guy anymore.
I have another thing
that drives me crazy. I want to know if one of you do, because I feel like Katrina's kind of like the dude in our relationship with this, where she talks about it. Like that to me kills the mood.
What?
Yeah, it's like, are we gonna? She'll like ask me at like 5 o'clock. We're having dinner. Like, are we gonna have sex tonight or what? Like, I'm like, well, I mean, I was planning on it. Yeah, it kills it for me. It's like I don't want. Like, it takes all the
can you just,
like
rub really? My arm or something.
Yes. So that,
was it the pressure?
No, it's not pressure.
I gotta perform.
Like I don't know, the mystery and the suspense and all that is like it takes that out of it.
We're so different, bro. If Jessica says to me, you know why she won't tell me we're gonna have sex tonight? Because then I won't leave her alone until it happens.
Oh, so yes,
yeah. Because then I'm like, you shouldn't have said anything.
She wants to forecast it all before everything.
No,
it's just like play by play. I'm like, come on.
No, I end up following around the kitchen. I follow around the house. She's like, get off of me. I'm like, you said we're gonna have sex. She's like, tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And then if I don't confirm it, then it's like all night I'm getting like every half hour. So it's like, well, too bad we're not having sex tonight.
Wow.
Yeah. But if we were having sex tonight, it's
no way,
well, if there was a chance that we were going to, like, it's not going in your favor by bringing it up all the time. No, like, just let it be. It'll happen.
Hey, speaking of which, I think I might have messed up a little bit. You guys know I got the vasectomy. The doctor's like, you got to wait a week before you.
Of course you did it.
Yeah, dude. It was a couple days later, we kind of fooled around.
Why are you such an animal?
I know.
I don't know.
Hope your balls exploded.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen. I'm sore. I'm a little sore, dude. I hope I'm all right.
That's a weird thing to ask.
for your friend.
What a mean thing.
That would definitely, no more kids are having if that is balls exploded.
Just
there's still
the,
a window.
I'm just worried about the business.
That's all I'm thinking about.
All of a sudden I'm brilliant. Like you were smarter. Oh, all that energy was going there.
It does keep us up at night. So
you thought of that?
We're worried.
You're not in the clear yet.
I know. That's why I'm still anxious. I think I'm more anxious about your vasectomy than you are.
Yeah. Counting down.
I'm worried that I'm like, of course, this will be Sal, right? Like he gets it. There's like a 14 time window that he has to just be good and he's gonna do some shit like this, breaking the rules. Like.
No, we're good. I'm good, bro. Jessica told me, she's like, no way. So we're good.
It's funny because you're such a science guy, study guy, and I feel like the doctor tells you these rules.
Oh.
that you would be the most. I feel like Justin and I would be more rebellious about something like that.
Yeah, I just don't listen to doctor. I don't know what it is.
Well, we just don't even go to the appointment.
Yeah, so you guys are You guys don't even go.
Yeah.
No, I you know, I have a tough time because I feel okay. So, like when I had my shoulder surgery, doctor's like, you got to wait this long. And this is a true story. I got my AC joint resected. They actually put in a catheter to pump a painkiller in there. And I was supposed to keep it on for, I don't remember how many days, keep it on. By day two, I couldn't sleep. So I'm in the mirror and I'm pulling the tape off and I'm pulling the catheter out and like taping myself and whatever on my own. So I'm just not a good patient. Mm. I'm not a good patient. I'd make a terrible client too. I think if a trainer hired me, if I hired a trainer, I think it'd be terrible.
Yeah.
On that as well.
We probably all would.
Yeah. Anyway, I got to tell you guys.
I know. We could never do that.
I could never train you. I could never train you.
No way. Oh, you guys are assholes. No.
You guys would get such good shape, though, if I did.
Uh-huh.
You guys would get such good shape if I actually trained you.
You'd have to trick us.
Yeah. Into your idea.
All trickery.
Hey, remember what you said the other day? You wanted to do this?
Or just tell me to do the opposite? I got to tell you guys a funny story with my my 14-year-old. So my daughter, she's always had just perfect skin, like porcelain, perfect skin. So she got her first pimple. It wasn't even that big of a deal. Pimple.
Where was it?
Just on her cheek. It's not a big deal, you know? But she's like freaking out. I can't go to school tomorrow. What am I going to do or whatever? I'm like,
dude, I got a gnarly one right here.
On your told me.
Tip of your nose?
It was in your school picture.
Hello.
Right?
Rudolph.
Yeah. So she's all freaking out. Doesn't want to go. She's like, I'm not going to go to school. So Jessica's like, I'll take care of it. Because Jessica's got a thing for pimples. You guys know that. She's weird about it.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a nice bonding moment between them. Actually, it worked out pretty well.
Gross.
Yeah. But it was funny to see my kid freak out over just the small, you know, it's like,
did you guys, well, did either one of you guys have bad acne in high school or did you go through that insecurity? I mean, that's kind of a common thing
never
for teenagers.
Never on my face. I had on my back and shoulders when I was a teenager, but never on my face.
Who cares about that really, right?
Yeah.
It's a face. What about you? Did you
just randomly, it'd be like volcano size ones, you know, but it just out of the blue, you know, I'd have one or so. And then like, it was weird as even back then, like it was girls that were like friends of mine that would just look at me and then they come up to me and they'd be like,
why?
I don't know. Like, and I was,
it's the grossest thing, dude.
I think they're just helping.
You know? But what about your face? Did you have bad acne as a high schooler at all? As a kid?
That's like what I mean. I only had like one or
oh, wow.
Yeah, randomly.
And you didn't either, right?
No, big time. So
you did?
So, and it didn't bother me until I got like, just recently, I was like looking at old high school pictures and I'm like, God, I should have been so insecure about my face. Like, it's like, I didn't realize how bad it was. Like, I didn't think
about my teeth.
I didn't feel that way. It obviously didn't bother me.
So you got a lot?
Yeah. I'll find a picture. I saw this picture of me and I was like, I didn't even think I had that bad of acne.
Did you ever do anything?
No. Yeah, that's why I didn't care. It didn't bother me. I don't know why.
Wow.
It should have bothered me.
Wow.
I looked really ugly. I had that going on. Yeah. I had the two front teeth were all crooked. I don't know what was going on.
Did you try and grow whatever hair you could on your face?
Hey, dude. And later, God's like super handsome. Like in your 20s, you just got beautiful.
You know, hey, it's not really. It's just there was such a huge discrepancy. That's what it is.
No,
like, you went from like really ugly to average.
You got to No. We got to post pictures of you, bro. And you're like peak competing. You look like what's his name from Superman? You look like the actor that plays Superman.
Stop
all
it.
Like,
stop
all like blue steel.
Just ding.
Yeah.
No.
On the teeth
no,
and everything.
No. But yeah. I didn't know that I had it that bad. But I only had like a 1 year phase. Remember I told you guys I'd sprouted up like crazy height
during that time.
Yes, it was that
weird
year.
I wonder what it had to do with the hormones or something.
Had to, right? It was just like that junior year. So I went from like,
because you ate a crappy diet the whole time.
Oh yeah, I never ate
processed food the whole time.
Fast food like crazy.
Yeah,
I didn't grow out of that until even I was a trainer eating bad food. I didn't stop. I didn't clean up my diet until my mid to late 20s.
Mm.
Yeah, didn't you go? You ate pretty bad for a while, didn't you?
You know, compared to what I hear from other people, not so bad, because at least because my traditional parents, right? My mom would cook a home-cooked meal every night. It was always three course. So I always had that, right? But breakfast and lunch were typically, you know, typical garbage.
I went off the rails in college. That's when it really got, because it was like, I lived next to Carl's Jr. and I lived next to like some of these fast food places and I would just hit it up in the morning and then when I get home. And I was eating a lot of calories, dude.
You know, when I was
moving a lot,
I have to say, isn't that the story that you said where you bought a can of spray cheese and something else and just crushed it on the way home?
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, easy cheese was a regular.
When I was 16 or 17, I was trying to bulk real hard, and I went to Hometown Buffet. You guys don't remember Hometown Buffet?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. This is like you eat all you want, all day long.
Stacking plates.
So. Yeah, so I went with my cousins, and we thought we figured out the hack, because we go in the morning. We're like, we're not leaving. So we'd stay there.
Stay there all day.
All day. We stayed there all day and just ate so much, so much terrible food. We would eat like a...
You would think somebody who worked there would like pick up on that.
Yeah. I don't know if you... I don't think they have a time limit, do they? Dude, they might have a time limit.
You sound like my friends in college. It was all these
linemen. I don't think that many people actually stay there for eight hours. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. We were there for like probably six, but we'd go starch, protein, dessert, and we'd take a break. Starch, protein, dessert, take a break. We must have gone through 4 or 5
You know, back then, that would be really crazy to do that, and very few people probably even have the patience to say that. But today, with like social media and your phones, I could totally see that. I wonder if that's been an issue before at these like these places.
They have to have a time limit now.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Look up time limits for
hometown buffet. See if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we went there and just crushed it. And I remember I gained weight while I was there. It was all water. But I'd go weigh myself afterwards all successfully happy.
Well, that was a regular because like we'd travel a lot with the football team and where are you going to take football team, you know, to go eat? Like we just take over. Yeah. So we'd have to like go to a lot of buffet places. Guys. Yeah. Dude, people got scared and just laughed, you know. Wow. It was funny. Yeah. Just stacking like 10 plates. Like,
do you remember, Justin? Cause you and I are more like each other with the, like probably the fast food and eating bad food. Like I don't think you were as much. Do you remember the transition of that? Like, I mean, I remember there was a point for me where that was staple. Like, every day there was some fast food, whether it was driving through McDonald's for breakfast or dinner at Taco Bell or whatever like that. I was definitely ate terrible, right? Even into my 20s. Yeah. And then there became a transition where I went away from that and then I never came back. Like, after I cleaned it out of my diet.
And I just get diarrhea.
Yeah. Then it would destroy me. And even if I wanted to go back, I couldn't go back.
I went through levels of it because it was like, there's like the Taco Bells, there's the Burger Kings and, you know, that sort of
there's like
realm. And then you get into like,
you're right.
You know, there's
In-N-Out.
Other restaurants. Yes. Yeah. In-N-Out. And
yeah, I don't even count In-N-Out as fast food.
I justify.
That's still allowed.
In-N-Out is different level, I would say.
It's not fast food.
I worked in the restaurant is my point. It's gourmet, so fast food. It was like a constant battle for me. Cause it was like, I was used to when I was at home too, I had a lot of good home cooked meals. And so that kept me in check. And then when I was in college, it was like fending for myself. And so and that's why I went to get a job at a restaurant. Cause I was just so sick of cafeteria food and so sick of like, it didn't feel good. And the funny part is a lot of my friends that were like big guys, they always make fun of me cause they'd order like, you know, crazy burgers. I would always order like chicken sandwich or, you know, like chicken nuggets. And dude, even back then I was getting fucking made fun of, right? You know, so I wasn't like fat enough, you know, and here I'm like super fat, right? So I'm just I never really fit in, dude.
He's a skinny guy back in football.
That's why he never worries, dude. Yeah. He hung out with 400-pound linemen. You
know, yeah, I got friends that are way bigger.
Yeah.
Like, trust me.
What's the worst fast food place? It's got to be Taco Bell. Arby's.
No, Taco Bell.
Arby's?
No way. Arby's is fine.
Yeah, I had no
Arby's.
Way, bro.
Dude, what are you talking about?
Taco Bell. At least you get a bunch of meat. Like, it's not the really. Ones that are all like.
It's like deli meat and it's like melted cheese on it.
I think like Subway, dude. They give you I'm sorry.
It's just bread.
Dude. It's just bread.
Yeah.
And then like they basically the meat's like paste. Like they squeeze it out of a tube and you're like, ugh.
I saw someone doing a critique on Subway. Actually, I saw a little viral clip going. It was pretty funny. They were talking about. He was like bashing, and it had to do with like inflation. Like, do you remember the big promotion or campaign that that Subway was famous for was the $5 footlong?
Uh-huh. They don't do that anymore.
It's $6 for 6 inches.
Oh,
that's their big.
So they cut the footlong down,
bro. $5 footlong, and then $6 6 inches is what is the is the promo. That's like the big selling point now. Talk about crazy inflation. Like it wasn't that long ago. The $5 footlong was the big ad.
Wow.
Like, oh yeah, get your favorite $5 footlong in it. You know
what they're doing at with a lot of products is to try to reduce the price rise. Is they reduce the servings or how many squares of toilet paper?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, the price only went up $2.
Tons of people don't even know that that's happening right now to you, and you don't even realize it when your toothpaste tube has 0.5 less ounces.
Yeah.
All these products. that you've been using forever. You don't ever really, like, who knows? Like, do you know how many ounces are in a tube of toothpaste? Like, you probably don't know. So you have no idea that point five is missing.
At what point do you think the GLP-1s are going to be used to save money? You know what I mean? Like, you spend money on the GLP-1, but you save money on food because of inflation.
I mean, you made such a good prediction, especially this was before I had even started the tirzepatide. And I can't agree more now with you because of the how I feel of like how turned off of eating any food I am. Most certainly junk food, snack food is so unappealing to me that we have to, in the next year, start to see stats that come out with like Nabisco and like
all they're panicked.
Yeah, they got to be losing millions.
Do you know what their stats are? Have you guys seen the stats on fast food eaters?
Can you look that up, Doug, to see if you can see anything happening right now, if there's any trends in that direction?
So if you look at snack food eaters and you look at this is like all consumers, snack food eaters and fast food eaters. You have a range of customers, but a significant percentage are considered heavy users. So like fast food eaters, there's people like us who all go get fast food, you know, twice a month or something like that, right? Yeah. And then there's people that get fast food, and these are the
Yeah.
Or multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Same thing with snack food. So this is why these companies are freaking out, because it's not like they'll lose a little bit. It's like if our main users
go,
then we're screwed. Yeah. We're going to lose 30, 40% of our gross revenue. It's
so
funny when
you say it like this. It sounds such like a drug addiction, right? So similar.
It is.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah. Because you have people that partake in drugs.
Yeah, like I have a little bit of wine.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have alcoholics or drug addicts.
Wow. Like, I didn't even think of that.
Uh-huh.
That's terrible.
It is. It's very much so like that.
Yeah.
And like hard to, what do you see, Doug?
Well, in 2023, Walmart CEO said that Ozempic and similar drugs have caused its customers to buy less. So they're actually tracking that.
Already?
Yeah. Is it Walmart that I saw? You know what I'm seeing too, what's happening is so like what we saw with Oprah and Costco. You know, Costco is now selling semaglutide.
No way.
Yes. Okay. Look it up, Doug.
Listen, I'm going to say this again because I want people to know that it was stamped, time stamped. We said this. This is a culture shifting medical intervention. This will be in the same category as birth control. How birth control was one of the main catalysts for the sexual revolution. It changed society. These GLP-1s are going to do the same thing. It's a cultural shift is what we're going to experience.
I'm not only going to agree, I'm going to say it's going to be bigger.
Oh.
Because it's not one sex. It's both.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So it's like the effect.
Well, here's why I say it's as big.
No, I get what you
Birth control is affecting
shifted the way
natural.
We do.
Yeah, it's a natural human innate desire, and so is eating.
Yeah.
And so when you shift those that dramatically, it's going to have far-ranging effects. Okay. Some of them we can't even predict.
Costco adds Ozempic prescriptions for members through virtual weight loss program.
Wow. Hey, speaking of medicine, I got to tell you guys.
Bro, everybody.
Listen, we're not even sponsored. I don't even know if I want to say the company, but it was interesting. So Jessica, we were all sick, right, last week, and Jessica started getting like severe migraines. She's like, I think I have a sinus infection. She goes on, and we have good health insurance. She goes on to make an appointment with a doctor, booked. They were all booked for months. She's like, I have to go to urgent care just to see a doctor in case I have a sinus infection. Like, this is ridiculous. So she was in so much pain. And she didn't want to leave the house. So I went online and I said, I wonder if there's a way that I could do a virtual appointment. I'll pay out of pocket, however expensive it is. And I went online. There was a company. Okay. Ready for this?
Yeah.
$35. You do a virtual appointment with your doctor and then you get your prescriptions and your insurance pays for it. That's it.
Yeah. You'll have to talk to JT.
One time.
Stuff. He's all wrapped in the telehealth in that world. And
bro, you could pay $45. Every 3 months, and you get the appointments for free, was what this company offered. That's crazy.
But they can't check your prostate.
No.
They can't do that.
Right. Adam could do that.
Yeah. He's
okay, you're all right. If you got a buddy.
What are friends
we'll,
for?
We'll talk you through
what
it.
What are friends for? Anyways, yeah. Yeah, it's a small job.
Anyway. Hey, I read a study on the bonobos. I don't know why this.
Bonobos? Think of
them. The bonobos, yeah. Am I saying it wrong? Bonobos?
I think it's bonobo. Who knows? I'm not the person to correct.
Do you remember that book that you read, Adam?
Yeah, Sex at Dawn.
Yeah, that talked about the bonobos and how,
They use that group to say that that's the closest.
Like humans are supposed to be like that, right? Because they just have sex all the time. They never fight or whatever.
When are we going to stop comparing us to apes?
Yeah, I know. So they actually did another study where they looked at bonobos, not in captivity, but in the nature. Because the problem was when you put bonobos in captivity, it turns out one of the ways they handle stress is lots of sex.
Kind of like how humans, if you put us in prison, we're probably a lot different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they looked at them in how they were in nature. And it turns out bonobos are more aggressive. Male bonobos are more aggressive than chimpanzees even.
Really?
So the whole theory about bonobos or whatever, it's baloney. It's not true at all.
It's a classic example of like, what do you call that when you go into like a study with already your bias, and so yeah. you're just trying to prove your yeah. bias. It feels like that.
Yeah.
Like to Justin, your point, I feel like we've been trying to.
Trying to wedge that in because it fits with that theory, right? The original theory that we evolved from apes. And it's like, if you really go back and analyze, like there's a lot of holes there.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, we think we have a definitive answer, but when you really put a good look at into a lot of these things, like it's interesting, like that they still haven't really figured out, like
no. And then you look at it, like we have a closer digestive system to like a pig than we do like an ape.
Exactly.
Like, mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, so this part of us evolved that way, but then this part didn't, and it's like mm-hmm.
Maybe it's chickens.
Yeah,
you ever hear, we're actually more closely related to chickens.
You ever hear vegans say that? Like gorillas are vegans. You know?
Yeah. Look how jacked they
are. Yeah, that's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah. Anyway, so another interesting study I read on the value of sports. You guys will like this one. Yeah. So I'm gonna pull up the study for you guys because you guys are big. Sports advocates, watchers, you guys like the entertainment of it.
The sports balls, we're big with us.
Here's the title of the study. This came out of Waseda University. The title is The Joy of Sports. You ready for this? I'm about to make you guys super excited.
Mm.
How watching sports can boost well-being.
Yes.
Well-being. So sports beyond entertainment foster community and belonging, benefiting both individuals and society. Despite its recognized positive effects, limited evidence exists on the link between watching sports and well-being. To address this gap, a team of researchers conducted a multi-method research and found that sports viewing activates brain reward circuits, leading to improved well-being. Popular sports like baseball notably impact well-being. The research offers insights for public health policies and individual well-being enhancement. So just watching sports, they're showing in the study, is like, it's pretty good.
That's interesting.
For people's well-being.
So is there any scenario where you see yourself at this stage of your life?
No.
I disagree with you.
Wait a second.
I disagree with you.
I talked to Adam about this.
Okay? All right, go for it.
And now here's the thing, right?
I want to hear what you thought.
Do you think
I'm
into gymnastics?
Huh?
I do. I think you wear a leotard and everything when you go to these meets.
No, you go watch your kids, yeah, right? Yeah, no, yeah. You go watch your kids do gymnastics.
Okay, right? Yeah. You've seen signs of abilities, let's say, with Aurelius, and let's just like play this out a little bit further along and like where he goes, his interests, like, you might find yourself sort of coming into this community, like learning 100%. More about it, deconstracting it.
You're right.
Like, you know what I mean?
No, you're right.
But yeah, I hope for that personally, because I think you're gonna get so much out of it.
Oh, I will.
There's a box I haven't checked in business for me, and that's like to be able to have like a luxury box or whatever like that we can do. And I can't do that through this business because you do have no.
We gotta pull
to
you
that.
In. We're working on it.
So the supplement company, I'll give you that.
We got a trader, give you a supplement company.
So that's it.
I get
first,
a luxury box.
The supplement company, and then we can
get the luxury box.
We'll get,
of the game.
We'll get our. Yeah,
that's like a serious thing. I've already just accepted that's not going to happen in this business because I need all four partners to be excited about that. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll just chalk it up for one day when I'm older. Katrina and I will have season tickets somewhere and we'll watch every game.
You hit the nail on the head though. If my kids really get into a sport or any activity, then I'm going to get into it just to support them.
Of course you would. And dude. I think it realizes that way. I think it's inevitable, dude.
He loves that shit, dude.
Yeah.
He loves it.
I know like everybody tries to tell me like, oh, kids change as they get older. Snap.
You can see it though.
You can.
Yeah.
You can just see, you can see a kid and even like his, like all the things that challenge you with him and kind of frustrate you are also all the attributes that make good athletes. Yeah. Pain in the ass, like, contrarian, like rebellious, like, hyper, like all those things that makes a good athlete. Yeah. And so
he's got an arm on him, dude. You got to see him throw. He swings a bat, I never practiced with him. I don't even know how to teach him. I know how to hold the bat and he hits the ball, most of the time. Yeah, he likes that stuff. So we'll see. My youngest daughter too. My 1.5-year-old. This must be my wife's genetics, I think.
Yeah.
My youngest, she just learned how to walk. Okay, like literally just learned how to walk, and now she walks around the house picking up heavy things, and she likes to show me. She looks at me and she smiles, and then she'll lift like her toy. Like she has a car that you sit on and ride. She'll lift it, or she'll lift up the big gymnastics blocks or whatever, and then she'll walk across the house with it. What is going on? It's great.
No, it's coming.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I think there's
well, I'll be definitely involving you guys because my coaching ability and ability to teach them stuff is limited. So past a certain point.
Yeah, but you know what though? Like, if you are, if you're open to like what Justin is saying, that they get into it, you get into it. We already know all of our personalities. You're obsessive.
Yeah.
So, which is like what I'm praying for is like, you're going to get obsessed about like a sport and then we can finally have these really deep, great conversations.
My hope, my hope is if that he gets into wrestling or some kind of that I already love. And that would be amazing.
No, I hope he does something you totally are uncomfortable with.
Misery loves company. He just wants
to gymnastics. I mean, and I'm actually excited because Everett's completely done. He's not, you know, he doesn't want to do
it. Your oldest just crushed it.
He's crushed it. He just won first place.
So wait a second. He just won this tournament and now he wants to be
out. That's my oldest. No, the youngest.
Oh, you're talking about Everett.
Everett's like, he's having a hard time because he's already kind of mentally in that space where it's like, you know, when you're like done, like he's already kind of there and wants to move on. And we just found a school that just opened up, a Claudio Franca school.
For jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Which I don't know anything about. I've done a few sessions and whatnot, but I don't know anything about it. But I was like excited because it's like, it's something where I'm like, I don't know anything and I'm going to learn it with him as we go. And I'm, you know, that's a little bit more my speed, a little more aggressive, a little more, you know, stakes and strategy. And not to say that like gymnastics doesn't have strategy. It's just not like, it's a different type of strategy. Yeah, it's more like, performance, like with no, you have to be able to shut everything out and then just perform to perfection. And everything has, all the movements are so intricate. This is more like, let me try this. And exactly. Is this going to work? Is this not going to work?
I think jiu-jitsu would be amazing for you. Like just your personality and like your competitiveness, but then the type of God, patience.
I would hate to go against you guys if you were good at jiu-jitsu. You guys are both mooses.
I hope Max gets into that. That's something that we hope. Oh, you know what's funny? I didn't tell you guys.
But I'm like, Adam, I didn't want to get into it because everybody.
I know. That's
every podcast.
But you know what though? If your son is, that's okay. Like, so if my son's into jiu-jitsu and then that's what drives me into it, I'm all about it. But because everybody else is doing it right now, it makes me not resistant to do it, right? Because how contrarian we are. I don't want to do it because everybody else is doing it. But hey, if my son is, that's why I'll go do it.
Yep.
But I didn't tell you. So we finally got the 14th book done. And so my son had that rock shining kit up on my counter. So we've done this so many times now, like with Legos and all stuff like that, I was so surprised how long this took. And I wanted to I totally didn't want to push it. I just wanted to see, you know, is he just going to let this toy sit there on our counter?
And he did it.
Yeah, of course he did. He's done it every time. But I thought I was more intrigued by the patience of waiting and Dad, I'll read a book today.
Have you tried the kit yet?
So this is where I'm getting at. So we open it up, right? I have never done these before. Like, I just know of them, and I thought, oh, this would be cool. He's into rocks, and so that was my idea. And so I open it up to go do it with him. And I don't know if you guys have, but I didn't realize this. Like, it's not like you go plug it in and then it's ready in an hour.
No, it takes probably days. It
takes weeks.
Yeah.
So you put a rock in there and it tumbles them for a long ass time.
Yeah,
right?
there's four cycles of 3 days each. So you have to go. So there's the
thing. He's patient.
I know. I felt so bad. Like, I'm reading it and I have no idea, right? I'm like thinking like, oh, we'll plug this in. And then later tonight, he's going to see some cool rocks. Like, no, that's not how this works at all. There's like four stages. Stage one is like the core stuff that's in there. It makes the rocks round. And then the next one shines them up a little bit. And the next one polishes it. And then the next one finishes it.
Of course.
And it tumbles all day long, 24/7 for like, it's just tumbling right now. It hasn't stopped tumbling for
You know what your son would probably like? We're gonna do this with our kids. Silkworms, because then you can watch them build a cocoon, turn into a butterfly or whatever.
Yeah, like kits.
Or yeah,
like little farms.
Yeah,
dude.
Interesting. Yeah, it's great because they learn how to take care of an animal. They see the different cycles of life or whatever.
Oh yeah, he would like that. But I'm so fascinated with his patience. Like, I was so frustrated with that. I bought something that this poor kid.
You want to see the
rock? You wait forever to get it, and then as he gets, he waits another.
Look like
millennia,
Daddy. How long? And I'm like reading. I'm like, oh, 3 days. Oh, three days. And like, yeah, 3 days. And then we have to do another 3 days, and then another 3 days. So he's like so confused. He's like, thanks, Dad, for this gift. We put it all together and then just leave it. Now we got to leave it for another 2 weeks.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so dude. I feel hella bad. But I tell you what, man, he's
a good skill.
Yeah, he's chill, man. He's like totally like, that's okay, Dad, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Dude, speaking of gifts, I got to tell you guys. So my parents, they're in Sicily right now. I didn't tell you guys, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they flew over to Sicily. and they're going to be there for, I think, a little over 2 months. And they brought Ned for their family. My parents are such, they love Ned so much. They use the capsules. They love it so much. My dad will take a very low dose. He'll take one or two at night, and he feels less stiff from it and less inflammation. My mom started using it. She noticed her blood sugar got better from taking it. So they took some over.
He's been the biggest advocate in your family about it, right?
My dad?
Oh, yeah. I feel like
My dad's, that's I think where I get it from. My dad gets excited about something, and then he tells everybody.
Then he actually feels it.
And he's all in.
Now,
Is he gonna have to smuggle that?
It's hemp oil extract.
Yeah, but does Ned even ship overseas? They're only US.
I don't think so. Maybe Doug could look it up. I think it's just in the US.
Yeah, there's some countries you can't take it in. For example, oil? Dubai.
Yeah, Middle East.
Middle East.
Oh yeah, you go to jail for life.
That's
or whatever.
Really restrictive. Yeah. General. Yeah.
Wasn't somebody executed in one of those countries? There was somebody an American that went to jail for life.
They went to jail.
They got tested. They didn't even have it on them. They had THC in their system. If you get tested and they find THC in your blood, it's considered carrying.
Well, we're not going there.
Yeah, I can't go there.
No. It's in my hair.
I mean, it takes like a month to get that out of your system, too.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I know. But anyway, so they're over there sharing it. And I'll get some.
I want to go to Dubai, though. That's on my list. Do you go there? Is that like an area that you
would love to go there?
Yeah. I would love to check it out, too.
I would love to go there. I heard it's gorgeous.
Take some gold seal.
Yeah. I heard it's gorgeous. I heard they have incredible shopping malls, gyms. It's supposed to be really good over there. There's a great fitness scene over there.
I just want to see all the cars.
Do you think it's like that?
Oh, yeah.
They're just driving
around? Oh, yeah, no. I've talked to people that have been over
there.
Really? Yeah, they say it's like that. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, so even talking to my, like, there's like, like with exotic cars and stuff like that, there's like crazy companies like Mansory and like that do these over the top kits. And like they're known as like, people call them like Dubai kits because it's like, that's where you see that. Like here, you would never see that. It's just, so you buy a $500,000 car, like who's going to go spend
it? You leave it.
Yeah, you leave it alone. It's already amazing. Like who goes and spends $200,000 through an outside company?
What are they doing?
They modify it, just completely modify it.
What are you going to add to a half?
I'll show you
car.
Guys. I don't even like the way it looks. You take a beautiful car like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini and you just like change it. It looks like a different car. It's like, why would you do that? That thing's
really
so beautiful. Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you guys. Like, well, Doug, pull up Mansory, Mansory body kits.
Do they make them look all like comic book style?
Yes. Yeah. You'll see.
I think I've seen stuff like this.
They're like over the top. Like it doesn't, like you wouldn't, I mean, especially if you don't know the models and stuff like that, you wouldn't even know what kind of model it is after it.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen the change in a country like Dubai over like a 50?
Oh, show one that's all done up, Doug.
Oh, that looks pretty sick.
No.
That's pretty rad.
That's just the...
Doug's such a terrible Google.
That's not modified.
I'm fucking send you something.
Terrible.
What'd you Google?
Doug's
there,
a bad
Doug?
Googler.
Yeah,
I think if you just type it in, Doug, and Google, and then go to images.
Yeah, give me a, like just
and
images.
Click on images.
That way you can see a
it's
bunch of
it's at the top.
What?
Go to the top, click up at the top, images. And then,
there you go. Now you can see that. Look at that blue car.
I mean, so far it's kind of cool.
No.
It's much. It's a lot.
Yeah, look at that poor, look at that G-Wagon. They're over. Anyways, in the car world, like people will refer to that like as like a Dubai kit or
it's
whatever.
Like overdone.
And it's like you've got so much freaking money
to try and separate. Maybe because there's so many of
them.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. You got so much money, and to separate it, you do this crazy over the top custom work that modifies the car.
Have like you
that.
Guys seen like those pictures of Dubai like 50 years ago versus now or something like that? Have you seen those?
Mm-mm.
It's crazy,
like how
I
much
imagine.
Like they built.
Crazy, it's crazy. It's really the power of like you know capitalism, money, well, markets. Because it just
weren't they the ones that created their own island?
Yep. Yeah,
with the Palm Island thing with all the buildings.
Is that even still? Oh, here you go. What is that there?
No, that's all man made.
Look, is that that's before and after right there? Look at that picture.
Yeah, just the amount of money it takes.
And when is that before taken? Does it show the year then and now?
Let me see.
It's not even that long ago.
Not that long.
No. It's an insane
1990 to 2019.
Look at that!
Yeah. Wow,
that's like that's
wild.
Insane. Well, how far from there are they building that famous the longest
long
near
now?
That's in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought that I thought that they had to scrap that.
I think they had to reduce its
they
length
had to,
or something.
In fact,
they had to do something different
to it. I read an article that said it was a huge like disgrace to the royal family because they had these huge plans and they had to dramatically reduce the size of it because
really
because the cost.
I didn't know that. I watched the whole thing on that. It's still going on. How far are they from apart from each other?
They broke ground for it.
I mean, they're probably very close.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So is it like?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I wanted to bring this up. It was said for Adam because Adidas was doing like some interesting like promotional idea, and it's always interesting to see like how you get people's attention these days with like commercials wild shoes. And like how much more wild can you get with shoes? Because I mean I've seen some crazy ones, but Adidas, they made these literally so the box you get your shoes in.
Yeah.
They just styled and made it into a shoe.
Wait, it's like, a shoe box?
It's like Inception,
let me,
dude.
Let me see this.
Yeah.
Let me see this.
Yeah, they're literally box, like shoe boxes, and then and they cut it out and like have the tongue and everything in there. And so you're walking around with these stupid boxes.
Doug, look up Adidas box shoes.
Is this like...
I have not seen this. That's weird.
I want to see a picture of it.
While he's looking that up, have you seen the prototypes for Wimby's shoes? Have you seen his?
Uh-uh.
What's
a Wimby? So he's a rookie this year.
That's not a box shoe.
No, that's
not. It looks like a nice shoe.
No, box, like maybe promotional box.
Or those are boxing shoes. Maybe Adidas shoebox shoes?
Shoebox shoes, yeah.
Is that a real thing or was it like a joke?
No, it's like a promotional. So it's like to get attention for something, right?
So that's like, that's like half the, I think like it's so hard these days to.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
The box.
It actually shows somebody with them on.
The only reason why I believe these could be true is remember when those stupid, Kanye was wearing the, and Antonio Brown was wearing them.
The big red boot
things.
Yeah.
Like those were a real thing. Those didn't take oh my gosh, shut up.
I just thought like,
are we being trolled?
Are we like,
Kyle, are we
at that level now where it's young enough, you're supposed to know this stuff. Idea we can have?
April Fools.
No, is it really?
Yeah, according to this, yeah.
Oh, come on.
God damn it, Justin.
Justin gets fooled.
Why? I'm 3 for 3. You know what I'm not bringing up anymore? Any news
about famous people?
Yeah, famous people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, still do it, bro. Still good.
Okay,
time.
Fine.
Look up, give me this, Doug.
Misinformation hour.
Wimby, W-E-M-B-Y, Wimby prototype sneaker.
What's Wimby?
It's a person. Wimbiana is his last name.
Who is that?
Yeah, it's a new rookie basketball
player. Okay.
It's like a... this guy's 7'5".
Whoa.
And plays like a guard. Shooting threes like
Steph Curry. Is he the tallest person in the NBA?
Yes.
Oh.
And has handles and can shoot. He set like all kinds of records this year, his rookie year. Look at that. Those things. Like,
weird.
And so his logo is like the alien design. And so these are his shoes. They're going to look like this. Huh. Look at those. Those are wild.
Looks like he's made out of whipped cream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's weird.
He's wild to watch play, dude. It's a trip.
Could you imagine seeing what a 7'5" person would look like in person?
I mean, if you've never
7'5", I don't know.
The guy actually wasn't 7 foot. He was
going
6'10".
To a basketball game and seeing what I think what's
Bill Cartwright
crazier to me is when you see the point guards like Steph Curry, who you assume are short because they're short in comparison to the 7'5" guy, and he's the little point guard. And he's bigger than you is a trip.
Yeah, they're like, still like 6'8".
Well, he's not that tall, but he's over, he's 6'3", you know what I'm saying, as a point guard. And so he's not like this tiny little short guy, but he looks like it because he's playing with guys that are 7'5". And so when you're, and where else in the world would you ever see that many people over 6'5" in the same room? Like you could go 10 years of your life and never see a 7 foot person.
No.
Yeah.
And never see a step. But
yeah, was Muggsy Bogues the shortest?
Yeah, but he was under 6 foot.
He was 5'3".
No.
Yes, sir.
Was there somebody shorter than
Muggsy Bogues?
No, he was not 5'3".
Yes, sir. 5'3".
He could dunk too. It was...
No way.
Yeah, 5'3".
He dunked at 5'3"?
5'3". I'm pretty sure he's 5'3".
No way.
Yeah, 5'3".
Thank you.
Wow.
5'3".
What?
Yeah.
So how would he? So he would just run between everybody's legs?
He could dunk, dude.
It was a trip to watch.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Spud Webb was down that low, too. He was pretty short.
Yeah, he was a little taller, I think, but not much.
Talk about your whole life. I'm going to play in the NBA. No, you're not. Sorry, buddy. You're super small, bro. You're not even close to tall enough. And then you do.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, and imagine putting him next to someone like Wimby, who's like 7'5".
But then again, it would be hard. Like, how would he get? Like, I mean, you have to bend way the hell down just to touch the kid.
Well, you're not stealing the ball from him, but good luck him shooting over you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to get the ball from him, might be impossible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, it's like when my 3-year-old gets
imagine him trying to
run away
shoot,
from me,
though.
I can't get him.
Imagine like you playing against me in basketball, and the whole time you get two broomsticks to be holding over.
And
I have to shoot over that.
So he must have been good for like defense. And
who's Spud Webb?
Yeah.
Or I mean, Muggsy?
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider him a great defender. What was he? Great ball handler and passer.
Real great, yeah.
So he just made plays happen. He's
a true point guard.
Yeah. That's insane.
But the fact that he could dunk is crazy. 5'3" that's insane.
He must have been a grasshopper.
I'm pretty sure that he won the dunk contest one year because of that. Just because he, like him being able to do like a reverse dunk is like an insane feat.
That's crazy. Speaking of crazy, I cannot wait for our Vegas get together with all of our fans.
I know.
Yeah. So when's the last time we did
Ohio?
It's been a long time.
Before COVID.
So right, we haven't done since 2020. Was it 2020 that we did it, or was it 2019?
Yeah, 2020. Mm-hmm.
Right before COVID hit,
mm-hmm.
we did a live event with fans.
Yeah.
So it's been 4 years.
Yeah.
Then this one's in Vegas. Yeah. So this is going to be a good time. Yeah. No, so, and how many people are we allowing to go?
200.
Okay.
Yeah, we had to cut it off at 200 fire marshal stuff. I have a feeling this one will go fast because this is the first time.
At the Bellagio.
Yep, Bellagio.
So Vegas, Bellagio, live with us, hang out, meet us. And then are we doing the where we're doing some VIP where people can also...
Yeah, there's going to be six VIP.
We're going to do a nice...
We're going to do a fancy steak dinner with six people. Then there'll be... and then there'll be general admission, right? So it'll be general admission. And then I think that we even have a deal for like if couples come for if you buy two tickets or whatever like that. And then we're going to be there all day with general admission people. And then we'll hang out, VIP stuff. And VIP, I think they, Katrina and the team are putting together like a gift bag. You get front row seats. You get dinner with us.
It's been a long time.
Those normally sell out right away, though. So I'll just tell you right now, if you're listening and you want to do the dinner with us, because there's only six, that always goes.
That'll be gone in like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that'll go as soon as this goes live. That'll go the first.
All right, where do they go then? What's the website?
Mindpumplive.com.
Is it set up?
Yeah.
Can you pull it up? I haven't even seen what it looks like. Is there a picture of us? What are we doing here? Are we in Vegas? Is it like, hey, did someone do a hangover picture? That would have been a great picture.
For
We did those photos
actually,
and everything.
We did do that.
Come on, you guys. Yeah. We do everything around here.
Yeah, and you had the little baby carrier.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious for a Vegas thing that we're doing.
That would have been perfect.
Come on.
No, it's just changed the image. It's just a nice picture of us looking like we like each other.
Real rare moment.
Look at Justin and with sunglasses at the front answering questions. What a douchebag.
That was a
dude, it's outside. I mean, if I'd been an asshole, it was inside.
When was that event? That one right there, Doug, that was for trainers only, right?
This one?
That one right there.
No.
Sal, you know
that
I
might
did
have been
that.
The time Max Lugavere was here.
Yeah. Yes. And
December 22nd.
So that was more recent. But that was just for trainers and only like 50 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was only trainers.
So. Okay. Yeah, I can't remember. Okay.
You don't
remember.
Look, I had all the answers taped to my inside of my glasses.
Is that why?
I need that shit. Yes. I'm not like a robot like you.
I love the live events. I really do. I enjoy
I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. Like we love what we do, but the one thing that we're lacking with this is what we used to get in the gyms is you actually get to meet the people that you're impacting and helping.
Yep.
And we don't get to meet lots. In fact, today we have a few people listening to the show live and we enjoy that because we get to meet people. Otherwise it's like, who are we impacting? Who are we helping?
You just get disconnected.
Doesn't feed you the same.
What's the funniest or most common question you get asked when we do live stuff? Like, is there something that like you just either is a left field always? Like, that's so weird that people.
My favorite is when they ask me about you guys. So they'll say things like, do you guys really get along, or you know, what's annoying about Justin, or what about Adam? You know, I like those kind of questions. Yeah. Then I make shit up and
tell
them all kinds of crazy shit about you guys.
Yeah. The thing, people are always surprised. I always have people that we just did the one in Florida, right, where we were with people that. How much we don't hang out outside of here.
Oh, yeah.
Yet people assume that we work out together, that we do all these other things together.
We have scheduled conversations hours long every day. What am I going to do? I'm going to talk to you guys some more.
I know. What else are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm speechless afterwards. I use it all the time.
I know. But I think everybody, they
think we like hang out all day?
Well, because of our bond.
We could.
We don't. Everybody's. And I think it's because everyone has different things, right? We're all into kind of different stuff, even though fitness brings us together, right? And we share.
If we didn't have this, we would hang out. I think also we get a lot of it out by doing this, talking with each other quite a bit on the show.
Sure.
And also, I don't know, it's good content when we don't see each other for a while. Mm-hmm. And then we sit down and we get to unload, talk about what's happening, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But I'm excited, bro. I can't wait to do this. We haven't done a live event with listeners in so long. I remember how that would make us feel. We get a little bit of that when we do the NCI events because we get to meet trainers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is next level. So, yeah.
So the shout out today is ourselves.
Is
my
ourselves.
Pup, my pup, my
come pup, see pup, us.
Shout come see us. Yes. We're pretty cool.
Sign up. Come hang up. Yep. Hang out.
In person.
If you suffer from headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue, sleeplessness, you may actually have an electrolyte deficiency. There's a company called LMNT that makes an electrolyte powder. There's no artificial sweeteners, no sugar, and it has the right amount of sodium. Most electrolyte powders don't have enough sodium, believe it or not. So if you eat a healthy diet, you work out, you probably should supplement with electrolytes. LMNT is the company that we prefer the most. Go check them out. Get yourself a free sample pack with any order. Go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump. All right, back to the show.
Our first caller is Danny from Australia.
Danny, what's going on, man?
What up, Danny?
What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good. How you doing?
Great. We're doing all right.
Adam's having a little something there in the corner.
Mm-hmm. I give him supplements to try or experiment, you know, whatever you want to call it. So we'll see how we end 15 minutes from now.
I just want to say, first and foremost, you guys are probably sick of hearing it by now, but just want to say a huge thank you to everything you guys do for the fitness community. Myself as an up-and-coming personal trainer really helps me with my clients to teach them the right way to do things and, yeah, helps me put the right information out there. So thank you guys heaps for that.
Thank you, man. You're our favorite people. We love trainers. How can we help you?
So my question revolves around bodybuilding. I'm currently 7 weeks out from my first show and 500 calories. Maintenance is roughly about 3,800 calories. And my question is regarding basically post show. So I've hired myself a coach being my first show, not being aware of what to expect and how to get myself in the shape required to be on stage. So my question is just after the show, what should my calories look like and what should my training intensity / volume look like going, you know, back into normal everyday life and to try and mitigate fat gain and obviously keep, I don't know whether my intensity needs to be reduced because of my calories is going to be reduced. So I just kind of am a bit lost as to what to do after the fact.
A generic answer would be to almost mirror what you did going in. So like, you know, for example, if you're 7 weeks out and you cut another 500 calories and add an hour of cardio a week, and then the next week you cut another 500 calories, add another hour of cardio a week, and you just keep doing something like that, or I don't know what your plan is or what your coach has you doing. But then when you come out, you reverse.
Just scale it back.
You scale it back almost the same way you scaled coming into it. That's kind of a generic answer. Now, you can get away with the first 2 days of after being so low for so long, you're gonna find like my favorite time actually is the week after competing, because you've been deprived for so long and you can tell you're gonna have the best workout of your life about 2-3 days after the show, because your body's just been starving of nutrients. It's probably wanted to back off of all the cardio that you might be doing or going to be doing. And so it's going to respond really, really well. The mistake people make is they come all the way down. Let's say by the time you hit peak week, you get down to 2,500 or 2,200 calories. Let's say you get that low. And then you jump all the way back up to 35 or 37 every day. Now, you could afford to easily jump back up to 35 or 37 for the first 2 days, because you're going to be needing to refuel, refeed, fill your glycogen levels all back up. And so you could afford to do 2 big days right after you've been depleted, but then I would go right back to like somewhere in the middle calorie. So if you got all the way down to 22 and you know that your maintenance is somewhere around 35 or 37, I'll probably put you at like 2,700 calories.
So I have an interesting speculation on this, Adam, and you're the only, you're IFBB pro, so you're obviously the person to ask here. When people come out of intense in-season training for other sports, basketball, football, water polo, whatever, typically the protocol sounds very different than what we would tell an in-season bodybuilder post-show. In other words, an athlete, if they go into hard season, they train their ass off, they're like, okay, what do I do afterwards? Typically the advice is take a week or two off completely, don't exercise, bump your calories up, nourish your body, and then ease back into training. But what we tend to tell bodybuilders is to maintain the intensity and then scale down slowly and keep the calories high and scale down slowly. And I'm assuming, and I'd love to hear your input on this, because I know you've experimented with all kinds of different methods. I'm assuming the reason for this has less to do with what's better for the body and more to do with we don't want to gain a lot of body fat. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is not what's optimal for health. Okay. This is like, how do I mitigate body fat? I mean, there's some level of health there, right? Because you don't want to binge afterwards, which is the number one mistake.
Sure.
And that's unhealthy, right?
Right.
To do that. But yeah, it's more in lines of, oh, this is how I reduce the least amount of excess body fat I'm going to put on. Some is healthy and good. We want that. That's why a couple of days of a good high refeed, you could easily get away with 2-3 days of really high calorie and right afterwards. And then, literally.
So the other part of it, I'm assuming, has to do with the psychological piece, because coming out of a contest, like you said, the binge aspect, the incident of... or the instances where bodybuilders or physique competitors just go so far in the opposite direction, so high, that really what you're managing a lot of is a psychological component.
100%. Okay. Danny, the thing with this is, like, at least in my experience, not only personally going through this, but coaching people through this, people can get really in the weeds, especially coaches that are charging you to pay them to make this overly complicated than it needs to be. Like, the big thing is do not go overboard. And that is the number one mistake that most people, and I'm sure you're aware of this because you're in the space right now. Like, you know, everybody right now heading into the show is already planning their post workout. Weeks before their show, they're already buying the Oreo bags. They're already talking about they're going to eat. That used to be a thing. I don't know if it's still a thing, but that was always a thing when I was competing. Like, everybody was already purchasing the junk that they were going to consume that they had been restricting from. That is a terrible way to do this and a terrible relationship with this, you know, competing and then dieting. And so long as you do not go from that, because here's what happens is, let's say you went for like 8,000 calories, which sounds like a lot, but you'd be surprised how easily you could eat that when you've been deprived that long. The next day, after 8,000 calories, you're going to look and feel awesome. And then if you do that again, 8,000 calories, you're still going to look pretty fucking awesome and feel pretty good. And so psychologically, you start to mind fuck yourself and go like, man, I really need all these. And man, this is great. I'm getting to eat whatever I want. And then you stay on that path. And then you look back after 3 weeks and you've put 20 pounds on and 15 of it's body fat.
Adam, do you think that would this be a viable approach considering the psychological aspect of it? Like, if somebody post show, because I'm thinking physiologically, right? If you told them, take a week off of exercise, slowly ramp your calories up, ease back into your workout at that point versus keeping it where it was. And then, you know, instead of this kind of pyramid that looks like high and then bring it down, rather start low, start to bring it back up. Or do you think that that's going to feed too much into the opposite?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that I've personally played with this. Like,
how did you feel best?
I actually liked, literally all I would do is pretend that the diet hasn't stopped.
Okay.
So the show is over. I would just treat the day of the show, the day after, as like a big refeed. So I'd eat big. Okay. I'd eat big for those 2 days.
Okay.
But then I would pretend like I'm still on a diet. But I have a lot more freedom now. It's like the diet's no longer 2,200 calories. The diet's 2,700 calories.
Same food, just more.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have to now I don't have to do the hour of cardio that I was having to do in that last week heading into it. So I've cut out the cardio. I've increased my calories, but I still pretend like I'm still following a plan until I get myself ramped up to this like sustainable calorie intake where I can maintain a single digit body fat percentage, be feeding myself good and doing no cardio whatsoever. And that's kind of the desired outcome.
Okay.
So that, and that's what's worked for me. And what I've seen fail the most is just it really is the going too extreme. There's a lot of different ways.
No plan, going from a plan to no plan.
Yes. There's a ton of ways you could skin this cat. And again, coaches will overcomplicate this and try and sound smarter than they are of like, oh, you need to do it this way. And it's like, no, it's not that complicated.
And so like with the training, obviously I'm doing 5 days a week at the moment. And then, like you said, drop the cardio off and 12,500 steps. And so when I reverse out of this, should I reduce those 5 days down to like 3 or 4? Like, because I was looking at like a map split sort of deal. Or is that too much volume?
Only if that is considered a lot of training for you. Right. So like if you weren't competing, would you still train 5 days a week? And if you would, then I'd say,
I've been training 5 days a week pretty much
for
the last few years that I've been prepping. So,
yeah. So there's it's not necessary.
Maybe come back with kind of a lower intensity as your body recovers.
Yeah, I mean, and really, I don't know what your coach has you doing right now, but once I got into prep mode, I'm really not pushing the intensity. You're not building any muscle right now, so there's no reason to be like, you know, crazy training sets. Also, by the way, I think this is a mistake that a lot of competitors make. It still training to failure like crazy and trying to push people. It's like, dude, you are depleted. You're not feeding your body what's necessary. Overstressing it is not going to keep any more muscle. If anything, it's going to sacrifice more. So right now you should be doing, you know, I mean, you should still be training hard because you're probably consistent and strong, but you're not trying to break records. You're not trying to increase volume right now, just maintaining. So when you come and then when you get fed a bunch of calories right after your show, you're going to feel amazing. And so you don't really need to modify the weight training part per se, or you shouldn't have to if you've been coached into it right and you've been training properly going in. The only thing that's really going to get modified is I reduce or get rid of cardio and I bump calories. And depending on how far down you went, you know, I'm probably going to bump it back up. I'm going to give myself the 2 refeed days, and I'm probably going to bump myself 500 calories, and I'm going to see what happens in that week and how my body responds. And then I'm slowly probably bumping 500 calories a week all the way until I get back to what I would consider my like good maintenance or where I want to maintain my calories. That's pretty much what it looks like. As far as the strength training, you know, you could keep it the same. Now you will benefit from switching your programming up, because now you're refeeding your body a surplus. So giving it a new adaptation. So let's say your protocol kind of looks like a MAPS aesthetic program, and then you get out of the or get done with your show, and then you transition to like a MAP Strong or an old timey with a calorie surplus. That'd be super beneficial, because now you have a new adaptation. You're refeeding the body, and so you're going to see some growth and change.
MAPS anabolic would even be good.
Yeah, or anabolic advanced, because he's an experienced lifter. Mm-hmm. Like either one of those would be great.
Yeah, no, awesome. I've got both those programs, so I can easily transition into one of those. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Are you in our forum already?
No, I'm not. I'm not a part of the forum at the moment.
I'll have Doug put you in our forum, and then as you're going through the process, I know you have a coach, but feel free to share your experience and your process. And if you just want to double check things with me, tag me and let me know what's going on.
Oh, awesome, man. Appreciate it. And just add one more member to the Sitting Down to Pee tribe.
So. Wow. You're from Australia.
You guys, back in the day, you guys were too ashamed. You would hide in the shadows. All of a sudden, all this current.
That's my guy. Spiders. That's my guy. All right, brother. I'll see you inside the forum.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. You know,
I don't know if I feel like I gave him a good answer, but
I think you did. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. First off, the psychological piece you have to consider first and foremost when you're talking about anybody, but especially someone coming out of a post-show, you know, or a pre-contest diet, right? But beside that, it was interesting. As you were talking, I thought, you know, when we talk about an in-season athlete who's also training to the max, probably overtrained, you know, injury prone, they get out of season, the advice is typically different. It's like, take some time off. Whereas these guys, we say, no, train the same, slowly scale it down over time. But it really has to do more with the aesthetic and the psychological piece, where it's like, I'm worried about gaining too much body fat. And they tend to swing in the opposite direction.
It also matters too, Sal. And what I don't know, because I'm not his coach, is because this is a massive mistake in this space, is these guys depleted to all shit, doing cardio like crazy, and then they're training intense as fuck.
Yeah,
it's and that's because like all the videos that we've seen and all the hype that's around but it's like, you're not doing yourself. I always say the real work for winning, having a first place physique on stage was done before prep.
Yeah.
That was the building and the sculpting of muscle. You came in the show before, your shoulders weren't round enough. Off season, I'm loaded on calories, I'm building those delts. Come prep time, I'm not building my delts anymore. I'm carving away the body fat and I'm revealing all the hard work I did. And you can absolutely overdo the training because you're in a caloric deficit and you're doing cardio. And most of these knuckleheads do that. Yeah. And really, he should be kind of cruising in with his training. He's just touching all his muscles. I mean, staying strong, the guy's probably strong. So I'm not saying like reduce your intensity to 50%, but You don't need to be.
You're just trying to keep.
Yeah, you're not trying to make leaps right now. You're in a calorie deficit and you're doing cardio. That would be, you may as well do another hour of cardio every day then too, and really sacrifice more muscle. You're not getting enough nutrients to build in this, at this place. So if that's true and you're doing that right, when you come out, you're not training hella intense.
Yeah.
In fact, you might actually get to ramp up your, so my best workouts were the 2-3 days after training, because I'm fed now.
You get all that.
Now I'm hitting PRs. Yeah. Now I'm hitting my best lifts, my best pumps. Like, I feel like I could train for an extra hour. I mean, I feel amazing. So, and that, to me, that's what should be happening here. But unfortunately, it's hard because so many of these coaches, they go to the calorie burn thing and they increase intensity in the strength training. They increase the amount of cardio they're doing. They decrease the amount of calories. And then, yeah, then these people's metabolisms are all out of whack when they get out of the show. Yeah. But it's not that overcomplicated if you go into it correctly. And then, you, like I say, you don't eat like an asshole afterwards. You don't go overboard with the overeating for weeks. You know, a couple days ain't going to hurt you. But 5, 6, 7 days of binging, absolutely.
Or months.
Yeah, or months, which is what happens.
Our next caller is Kelly from North Carolina.
Hi, Kelly. How can we help you?
How you doing, Kelly?
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing all right.
Good. Well, thank you so much for having me on. This is just an honor to be here and for you guys to take my question. And so, Sal, don't let them pick on you about your supplements, because I have an array of supplements too. And I even have a supplement purse, but it's not a supplement purse. It's a healthy habits.
Oh, that's cute. We'll call it a healthy habits purse.
You can call it what you want. It's dysfunctional. I'm not in denial of it.
A healthy habits purse. Okay. I like that.
No, no. Thank you.
We'll buy you one.
So I'll go ahead and I'll read my email and then I'll update you guys on some things. So I need your guys' help. I've had very little aesthetic improvement in my glutes over the past year, and I was curious what I should be doing differently. Some background, I'm 43 years old. I'm 5'1" and about 115 to 120 pounds. I'm a group fitness instructor. I'm sorry, Adam. But I also teach yoga and I'm a personal trainer. I used to be a hardcore cardio boot camp class junkie, but I wasn't seeing improvements and I was only getting injuries. I quit doing those classes and I started lifting about 2 years ago. I mostly started with machines like Smith machine and accessory exercises for my legs and glutes. And I saw some improvements. I had the newbie gains, so I saw some improvements, but then I plateaued and didn't have much visual improvements. I found you guys about a year ago in April of 23, and I ended up purchasing the Mother's Day bundle, which included MAPS Anesthetic. I started MAPS Anesthetic to get ready for a family beach trip. And that's when I started first doing compound lifts, and I first started using a barbell. And then after I completed MAPS Aesthetics, I started MAPS Symmetry, and I really enjoyed the unilateral workouts. I'm currently following MAPS Anabolic in Pre-Phase. Strength-wise, I've seen some good improvements from doing the MAPS programs. I went from 85 pounds on my deadlift to 185 pounds.
Wow!
My back's up from 85 pounds to 150. My hip thrust went from 155 pounds to 295 pounds. Unfortunately, to look at my glutes, there doesn't seem to be much visual difference. I love my strength gains, but I wish it translated more to aesthetics. But am I being too impatient? I feel a year of continued strength should at least warrant a little more junk in my trunk. I've included progress pictures from before I started lifting to year one and year two. My calories are at 2,000 with 120 to 150 grams of protein in whole foods. I'm consistent with tracking, and I have one untracked meal with my family on Saturday nights. I'm also consistent with strength training about 3 times a week. I teach 2 group fitness classes and 1 yoga class per week, and no other cardio except walking. So just an update from when I sent in my email, that was like 3 months ago. I've quit doing the cardio classes, so I'm just teaching yoga just one day a week now. And also, right after I sent in my email, I came down with COVID really, really bad, and I couldn't work out for a few weeks, and I could only teach my classes. And then finally, I started back into MAPS Anabolic, and I could do like maybe one day a week, some compound lifts, but I really had to take away a lot of the weight and build myself back up. And one thing I noticed was with almost starting fresh again, that I was connecting more with my muscles. And maybe when I increased my weight before from lifting, it might have been more just throwing weight on the bar and ego lifting. So I don't know if that might have had a little bit to do with it, but I feel like I've been putting in a lot of effort and I'm not seeing as much as I was hoping for, but that's why I want you guys' guidance.
Yeah, so I think you're doing way too hard on yourself.
I think you're looking great.
You got your okay, so you went from 1,500 to 2,000 calories. Your strength went through the roof. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in your butt too. Your butt looks different.
And abs. You have more abs and you're eating more calories.
You're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
I think you're just you need a little more patience.
Harder on yourself.
Or you might not ever be satisfied with what you're looking for because you said you don't have any junk in the trunk. I see junk in the trunk there. And your butt lifted and got rounder. Which would reflect the strength gains.
Yeah.
So the advice I'd give you would be the advice I'd give anybody, which is to stay patient, continue slowly bumping up your calories to fuel the gains, continue to try to get stronger. And then if you want to add any volume, you know, if you do the MAPS programs and you do you focus on glutes, let's say you hit glutes before you hit squats, that type of stuff. On the off days, you could do a little bit of extra volume by doing isolation glute exercises, like four or five sets on the off days, just to add a little bit extra volume. Yeah. But you're doing great. That's incredible progress.
I actually think you have a lot of glute. I think if I was critiquing you like a bikini competitor and you were my client, I would probably put some emphasis on hamstrings. So we would probably hit, and what that will do is it'll create the illusion of more butt. It'll work on the hamstring glute
insertion.
The tie-in right there. And that'll make the butt look even bubblier and fuller because the hamstrings are more shapely. And so there's room for some improvement and growth there. And so if you haven't put a lot of energy and focus on like getting really strong in the deadlift and doing a lot of hamstring
work. You can just add volume with leg curls on the off days too, because it's not really a taxing exercise. In fact, I would do things like donkey kickbacks or cable, you know, abduction, you know, on the off days just to add a little volume to the glutes. And then I would add leg curls on those off days. So you might do like a 25-minute workout on the off days, just getting a pump in the hamstrings and getting a little extra work on the glutes, bump the calories, and you'll continue to see progress. But you're really hard on yourself. That's really good progress. I mean, I could clearly see the difference between the pictures.
No, I can too. I think you look great, and being able to do that while also increasing calories, and it looks like you look
Like you got leaner.
You got leaner.
On top of it.
And built. I mean, the thing is, it's slow though. You know what I'm saying? Like when you've been lifting and training and doing stuff for a long time, we're older, like it is a slow process, but that's also the sign that you're doing it right. It sounds like you have a pretty good balance. You could probably afford to bump calories more and still push that a little bit. So you could go,
I think, go up 200 calories.
Yeah. You could go on a bulk for a little while and see if that'll help build, and then come back down for a little while and see what you see after that. So you could afford to do that for sure. I definitely think that the fact that you increase calories and you look leaner to me would be an indicator that I could push the calories even harder if we were trying to grow.
Yeah, this is actually exceptional progress between the two pictures that I saw in that 1 year period. Because you were fit to begin with. It's not like you went from nothing to training. You were already fit. But to see you go from fit to even leaner with more muscle, more shape, 500 more calories.
You're doing all the right stuff exercise-wise too.
Very good.
You listed, so.
And we're also not taking into consideration, correct me if I'm wrong, you said you were doing all kinds of cardio and cardio classes before, and then you cut that out.
Yeah.
So you've cut out a bunch of calorie burning activity.
Bumped calories. Got stronger.
And you got stronger, look leaner. I mean, that's a massive win when you consider that, because you got to factor in that too, that you are no longer doing all the repetitive burning. So that's awesome.
Okay. Thank you guys. I guess maybe I have some friends that are coaches, and you know, it's honestly, it's hard to coach yourself. And I look at them and I look progressively and I'm like, wow, I'm not really seeing much. And I show some friends and they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm not seeing as much too. And then I'm thinking, am I putting in all this work and getting nothing out of it?
No.
But one thing, thank you guys. And I didn't want to sacrifice, from listening to you guys, I've really prioritized sleep, just getting in good food. And I feel like I feel better now from cutting out years ago with all those cardio classes. I never realized how spent I was all the time. Now being able to like have more energy, and I love feeling strong. I just wasn't sure. And it makes sense that I've probably been just a little too hard on myself, a little too impatient. But you guys are reassuring me that I'm moving in the right direction and I can keep doing that. And I also want to thank you guys, because being a coach and trainer myself, I've been able to help people and see their best potential. And part of the reason why I stopped teaching classes was because of being in your guys' program too, the Mind Pump coaching program. I've added on more clients. And so I've been able to cut the classes, add on clients, and it's just been such a... So I knew I could reach out to you guys because I trust your advice. And I knew that whatever you guys would share with me would be the direction that I need to go. So as far as like, if I, like you said, Adam, and if I focus more on the hamstring stuff, so you guys were saying do like a separate day. Is that kind of like a trigger day, or would that be more than a trigger?
Like a focus like session. Focus session,
yeah. I mean, she's got all the programs, so we could run, I would run like MAPS aesthetic and then make hamstrings yeah, and glutes your focus days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I can so, do that. Kelly, I'm going to give you, so now I'm going to give you the advice I think that'll really help you, because I don't think building more butt and hamstring is going to fix this. You're going to if you listen to our advice, and you're already doing that. But I'm going to tell you now, because you're a trainer, you work in the fitness industry, and I'm going to guess that you're a better trainer to your clients than you are to yourself. Am I correct? Okay.
100%.
If you really want to work on this, what I want you to do is to stop taking pictures of yourself, stop examining yourself in the mirror and criticizing or being critical of your body, stop weighing yourself, stop taking your body fat, and just for a couple months, just focus on how you feel and treat yourself like a client. And that's going to have to be a conscious thing. So in other words, when these negative conversations pop up, or these inward thoughts of or criticisms, I want you to stop yourself and act like the trainer that you are to your clients. Because you're going to have to beat this. And this, by the way, this is very common with people in our space. This is the trainer curse, or the fitness professional curse. We're so hard on ourselves and we're so much better with our clients. If you could flip that on yourself, then you'll achieve a whole new level of happiness with your fitness. If you don't, this is going to be a struggle for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I can flip that switch. I can do that. And I probably just needed to hear that from you guys. And you know, that kind of changes my perspective on things a lot, and you hit the nail on the head. And I didn't know that was what I was going to be going into, but I guess I should have known that you guys would be able to do that for me. Yeah. So.
Well, keep us posted, Kelly. Yeah, please do. I'd love to hear back from you in a couple months and hear how things are going.
I'm really happy that our coaching course has helped you build your business. That was the whole point of the whole thing. So that's amazing to hear.
It's been incredible. And I will say the level of confidence that I have is through the roof. Like I felt confident before, but not just like listening to the podcast and what you guys share, but having this program where you guys lay out so much, and then also having the camaraderie of the other trainers and the Facebook group has been priceless. So thank you guys so much.
Awesome. Thank you for the feedback, yes. Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Fantastic.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right.
It's so tough, you know, and I can relate to her because I'm the same way. And, you know, it's like I know so many trainers. I was the same way. They're so good with their clients. Their clients come to them with the same criticism. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, my body. I feel like I'm not changing. And then the trainer's like, no, what are you talking about? Like, you gained 100 pounds on your deadlift. Look at these pictures. Your butt is here versus over here. You look so much better.
It's a massive blind spot.
And then for yourself, you're just such a, you know, you can be such an asshole to yourself. And you won't get out of it by changing your body. You'll be chasing a moving goalpost for the rest of your life.
My favorite part of this conversation is listening to the descriptors when we were talking about the butt. Bubbly, shapely.
Yeah. You know, it's my favorite. And it's, you know, to see it in other people, it's very revealing, because it's like, I have no junk in the trunk. You know, I think we're going to post
it. Yeah, junk in the trunk.
Yeah, like those pictures don't say that at all.
Well,
yeah.
The part that I want to highlight, because this is a common mistake made by not just trainers, but clients too, is you have to factor in all the other changes in behaviors that you've been able to do. Yep. And if, let's just say, and I don't think she gave us an exact number, but let's just say she was doing an extra three classes a week, which I'm sure she was probably teaching or doing, which is 3 hours of cardio a week or more probably, and eating less calories. Mm-hmm. And like, so she looks better. She looks leaner.
Staying lean,
she looks like she's built her butt. She's added 500 calories. She's reduced 3 hours or more
it's
of
like
cardio.
It's like everything you would want.
Yeah, no, it's you're killing it. But you don't think about all those things. All you see is the incremental change in the growth. Picture.
You're hyper-focused on this one thing, therefore ignoring all this incredible progress.
Yeah, all these other things. And it's like, wow, actually, when I think about it, I've gained 3 hours or more of my life back. I have way more energy and I'm sleeping better.
I'm strong, my muscles
I'm stronger
up,
than I've ever been, and my butt is better. I just can't see it as well as other people who are on the outside looking in.
Our next caller is Simon from Canada.
What's up, Simon?
Hey,
what up, man?
How's the lumberjack business?
It's stupid.
Yeah, it's going okay.
Right, mine's going well too.
I think that's the first time I got that one. I'll give credit to y'all for that one.
How can we help you, man?
Okay. So here, let me just read what I got here. So I'm just going to go with the script. So I've been recently getting into strongman competitions, happening in, Manitoba, Canada. So just kind of giving some background there. I'm 23 years old, 6 feet, 245 pounds. I've been using MAP Strong to help me with training, gain more strength. But before that, I finished MAPS Old Time, absolutely loved it. With MAPS Old Time, I saw a huge increase in shoulder strength. My log press increased from 180 pounds to 215 pounds.
Whoa. Yeah, son.
So crazy. And then I've been following MAPS Strong to a T, and I've been noticing some improvements, but it is way too much volume for me. And I had taken it down a notch because I've been too tired and feel like I'm just overdoing it.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you for being up on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've also been talking to, actually, you guys mentioned it before, Christopher, I'm going to screw up his last name, Mesneritz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I've been talking to him about kind of, because he combined MAP Strong and Old Time for his training, had a major improvements from that, and trying to see if I can do the same thing. I love MAPS Old Time because of how well it worked for me, and it's increased strength, but I also love MAP Strong because of how much the exercises relate to the strongman sport. I guess the first question is, how much does MAPS Old Time correlate with the strongman sport? Would MAPS Old Time help me succeed in the strongman sport if I were to just also stick to MAPS Old Time?
Great question.
I would love to see this tested out.
I know. Well, you know, so if you really look at strongman competitions, and if you were to compare them to any other era in strength sports or bodybuilding, whatever, it would definitely look
like old time,
competitions.
They've just added a lot more movement to it now.
Back in the day, that's what bodybuilding was. Like, you get on stage and you would see who could lift the most overhead, or who could pick up the heaviest barrel, who could run across the stage or whatever. So it's very similar. And the reason why old time had so much carryover is you build a incredible back strength, grip strength, overhead pressing strength, and you need a lot of that in strongman training. Now, strongman training is more specific to strongman competition. So what I would say is follow each program as they're laid out, but you did the right thing by noticing that, because MAP Strong does have a lot of volume. Those work sessions are crazy.
Comes out of the gates.
When it comes to volume. So I would reduce the volume in strong and follow it as it's laid out. And I'd start with about a third of the volume cut out is what I would do. And primarily probably in those work sessions, because that's where it gets really gnarly.
But I love the idea of alternating those back and forth. Mm-hmm. Those are great two programs to go, if like that's your sport, that's the thing you're into.
Yep.
To go back and forth between those two programs. I love that combo.
Oh yeah. It's going to reinforce a lot of strength and range strength.
We should put that as like I don't know why. I don't know. I wouldn't thought of that as a bundle. That's it. That would be a good bundle.
Yeah.
Well, and it was funny because last time I was on here once before, I mentioned, like you mentioned, dinosaur training, and I was doing that, and that worked super well too. It seems like any of the strength-based 3 times a week really just carries over well for me. And so when you guys made MAPS Old Time, I freaked out because last time we were talking about it.
Yeah.
And so it was awesome.
No, that's all, you know, that works for most people. That's why you see it working so well. And most people need to understand that. A good 3-day-a-week strength training program for about 85% of people is going to give them the best results.
So now you're doing this to lead to a competition that you're going to sign up for?
Yeah. So I've done one already, which was a log fundraiser competition, which was pretty chill. And so now I have like a novice competition coming up. So kind of for beginners, But so no weight classes, which will be very interesting, but just to kind of get into the sport. And so, yeah, I'm just training for that one right now.
Right on. Yeah, you're going to have to let us know how you do.
For sure. The only thing I would add, Simon, would be some kind of mobility work.
Even though Map's Old Time does a good job.
Yeah, Prime Pro would be good to have in your back pocket.
Give them to that.
And then another program to throw in, I'd say once a year, would be like a Symmetry, Map Symmetry. Although Old Time does a lot of unilateral stuff, Symmetries can be pretty correctional for people. Because you're young. You're a young guy, big, strong guy. You got a lot of gains ahead of you. So just just a couple things to consider before things start to creep up. Because what you tend to see with young athletes is they get stronger, and then they start to get injury, you know, one after another. So, you know, Prime Pro would be something nice to have. Things start to pop up, then you just start to address them before they become major issues.
Do you have Prime Pro already, Simon?
No, I do not.
I'll have Doug send that over to you, bro.
Sweet. Thanks, man.
Yep.
And also, sorry, just one question, kind of, I guess, related to it, but I guess a shorter one. So you guys, so it seems like you're pretty cool with combining the two. The question is how, I guess, is how would you do Maps Old Time and Strong pair them?
No, you wouldn't do them together.
I don't think combining
Old Time first, and then I would.
Do one after another, probably. But do Map Strong with about a third of the volume. So take the sets down about a third. Mm-hmm. Is where I would start.
Yeah, I mean, to try and blend those two programs would get really nuanced.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you probably could, but Simon, to be very, very honest. We would have to sit down, lay out both programs.
That would take a lot of thought.
And take a lot of things into consideration. What I don't want to do is say, you know, switch out this workout for that workout. I have to look at them laid out and then look at your training to give you the best advice. But I do know that if you follow one after another with the reduced volume and strong, because you identified as too much volume, which it actually is a lot of volume towards the end especially, that would be great.
I also know, too, that either one of them is going to benefit you going into a strongman contest. Yeah, yeah. And so I actually like the idea of you running one of them leading up to it and seeing how you perform, and then the next time running a different one and seeing how you perform, and then you personally, because there's also the individual variants. There just might be some moves in Old Time
that you needed,
that you really needed, that you see this huge gain, like you said, in the log press or something. Like it attacked something that you really were neglecting, and maybe you don't need so much of that, or vice versa, right? So I definitely think that each of them have their own benefits that are going to support your competition. I would recommend trying both and seeing which one you got the biggest bang for your buck.
Yeah, the strong, I would like to see if this was the case, but leading that into your competition, because of it, it really ramps up, you know, volume and a bit more of the endurance and the durability with that. So, like, you know, timing that in terms of like you working on your building your base strength with Old Time, and then kind of like immediately following that up so it leads right up into competition would be ideal.
Okay, sweet. All right, well, I'll give that a shot then. Try Maps Old Time and then Map Strong and see which one succeeds, or let's see how it turns out, I guess.
You got it, man.
Awesome.
Thanks for calling in.
And then, I just want to say quick thank yous, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah, please.
Just thank you guys for just talking exercise and training, and just that's been helping me a lot in getting, like, just knowing stuff. Even just within the 2 years, I've got to know so much through you guys. And even when you guys talk about like kind of kid stuff, when you're talking about with your kids, and like my wife and I are talking kids now. So even you guys are setting a good example of what can you do to be a good parent. So that's always been good to listen to as well. And another one I mentioned is actually Doug. Every time Doug talks about Japanese things, I also really appreciate that, because I lived in Japan for 10 years in my life, 10 years of my life growing up as a kid. So whenever he brings up stuff like, well, I think the last episode he brought up some sort of teriyaki, or was it something Japanese or something like that? But he brought it up, and I was like, oh, that's nostalgic. So I appreciate those Japanese moments with Doug.
Awesome.
Right. Awesome.
Say right on, Japanese, Simon. Doug. Appreciate the compliment.
Doug's bowing to you. Awesome. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right.
Take it easy, Simon. Guys.
Yeah.
I see you.
You got it, bro. So
good guy.
Log competition. I feel like Justin would crush. Dropping logs.
I do it all the time. dropping logs, pressing logs, shooting logs. rolling logs.
It's just world champion. You know, that, hey, old time. You know, it's funny. I did not piece that together till right now. Of course it would be a great program.
Yeah.
For strongman competition.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so ideal.
Dude, it fills all the gaps.
Like, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. That's why, too, I think there's value in, you know, going through both and seeing which one you got the biggest bang for your buck
totally.
For competition, because the old timey does have a unique side of it with like the windmills and movements yes. like that.
It addresses a lot of mobility issues and things too that you don't have to spend so much time like going through all of, you know, our prime stuff. I mean, yeah, that's ideal if you have like some kind of restriction or like some kind of pain.
But just to prevent it.
But just prevent it, yeah. But like this strengthens all of those moves.
Totally. Yeah. Look, if you love our show, we have a lose fat guide. It's free, mindpumpfree.com. Go check it out. You can also find all of us on social media. Justin is on Instagram, @MindPumpJustin. I'm on Instagram @MindPumpDeStefano, and Adam is on Instagram @MindPumpAdam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at MindPumpMedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.